शिला ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन संस्थापक आचार्य जगत गुरु सेवियर ऑफ द होल यूनिवर्स श्रील प्रभुपाद की नाम आचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद श्री दैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपी गौ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर नवदीप धाम की गंगमयी द्रोणमयी की तुलसी महारानी की हरिनाम संकीर्तन की बृहद मृदंग श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल प्रसादम डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल टेंपल कंस्ट्रक्शन की श्रील प्रभुपाद एवरीथिंग
श्रील प्रभुपाद की
So someone announced that this is question and answer session, and Chandramouli Maharaj, myself, and Dr. Tirtha Maharaj would be asking you a lot of questions, and you're supposed to give us answers. And Malati Devidasi. Always have been. Half blind, half deaf. Actually, Munkan karoti vachalam pangum langayate yatri patamaham bande Sri Gurum dinatananam paramananda mamam. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, even a blind man can see. So Chandramouli Maharaj made me see. Malati Prabhu is here. Even a deaf man can hear. Lame man can walk over mountains. And we can spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, even though we're a group of insignificant nothings, and I put myself at the head of insignificance. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, in the year 2000, millennium, we opened two new temples in America. Things get down and things are the worst, when the going gets tough, open some more temples. Distribute some more books. Go out and have a festival. It's like New York, you know. To Maya. In your face, Maya.
Prabhupada told us that.
Your mercy is all that I'm made of. Well, it's a fact. It's so much a fact. We just recently celebrated Prabhupada's disappearance. And in Bombay, Mumbai, however you want to look at it, we have three temples there, one city, plus a $12 million hospital. I know, I stayed there a couple of months as their guest. But we had three different festivals, and they were all just ecstatic. Of course, the main reason they were ecstatic was because of Radharas Bihari and Radha Gopinath and Radha Giridhari, Srila Prabhupada. And then the other reason they were ecstatic, because of His Holiness Radhanath Swami. But we were talking about how much
Srila Prabhupada meant to us. Many of you are his grand disciples, and I know that you all, from the core of your hearts, I mean, to join the Hare Krishna movement at this particular time. It was difficult in 1966, 67. But it was a happening time. It was a joyful time. But at this time, it's tough. You really got to be convinced. You really have to have a lot of determination to overcome all of the, I don't know what to call it, you know, except for negative energy that's surrounding, permeating the whole planet, and we're in the middle of it. So, to get up and declare war on Maya, to cut the knot, Chidjante Hridaya Granthis, to cut that knot and devote oneself 100% to the devotional service of the Lord, that is really something wonderful. And every devotee who even attempts to do that is a great soul. And I'm sure all of you, I'm saying this to say that I'm sure that all of you are very attached to your spiritual preceptors. But we were children. You have a lot. You have a lot, and I won't go into that, and I won't try to compare. I really feel you have a lot to work with, and we were just little children, and all we had was Prabhupada, and we were, you know, my brother, who's a journalist, he once, after years of cultivation, he slowly came around, but he wrote this article for a magazine in Canada called My Brother, the Jolly Swami. It won some award. It was in an airline magazine. And I guess they knew I was going to travel a lot. He describes his first impression of his brother, because I was the oldest and I left home. And, you know, I didn't see them for years, like about maybe 15 years or 12 years, something like that. So he said, you know, the typical description, I saw my brother as one of these people with, you know, I mean, we know a little bit how to wear dhotis and kurtas and Bahir Pas and Uttariyas and all that. But in those days, we were really ragamuffins. I can't explain to you. We were 1 foot in the hippie world and 1 foot in Prabhupada's world. And, you know, the 1 foot in the hippie world had on a green and blue sneaker, and the 1 foot in Prabhupada's world had on a different shoe. And those dhotis and kurtas really were out of sight. But word from the past, not out of sight. They still use that anymore. So we were really children, and all we had to show for our lives. And I'm talking about some people who were misfits, social misfits, because they weren't from bad backgrounds. Many of them, excluding me, were from upper middle class or even wealthy families, a number of people. But we were just an anomaly to society, where they couldn't really understand. And as Prabhupada said, the philosophers description. First, they'll laugh at you, and apart from the other hippies, mainstream America really regarded us with a smirk. But so all we had was Prabhupada, and he really was everything that we were, everything that he was, or we were all that. Now I'm getting mixed up here. His mercy is all that we were made of. Everything he did, we copied. You know, it was just like that. He wore Uttariya, so everybody wore Uttariya. Not that it's brahmachari dress, but we just, like little kids, we followed. And we were still real young when he left. And some of us actually know a little bit, but very few of us Americans. I count us Canadians amongst Americans, pardon me. People always ask me, what part of America, what part of the state you from? And I say, the Canadian part. if people, you know, we were just, when he left, little kid, you know, we don't have any understanding what it's like for a little child to lose both his parents and be lost in a world. And that was it. We were just, we had to grow up real quickly. We had to grow, because for the first year, I guess everybody was stunned. I mean, if there was ever a time when the Hare Krishna movement was zombies, that was it. We were like stunned zombies. I remember, anyway, going through a phase where I was just convinced that Prabhupada was going to return. You know, he just, I don't know, something out of Star Trek, he was going to rematerialize. He was going to beam down and he would be there. And I don't know how, you know, I used to be a rational person, but somehow it was just, it was too hard to bear his separation. It just hurt so much. And, you know, tears were there, lots of tears, but that didn't ease the pain much. So now I guess that we have grown up a little bit. We didn't have any time, any choice. Time forced us to grow, if not up, out. But still, Prabhupada is our everything. He's our everything. We just realize a little bit more about how he's with us, and we're starting to understand if we really love him, then we have to push on his mission and make sure that the world remembers him as the man who saved the world from destruction in Kali Yuga. And that's what I know I and the Maharajas, all three of them up here, and all of you, I'm sure it's what all of you want, I know that, to see Srila Prabhupada's glories. None of us are in it for the name and fame, because what is there? You know, what do you get? There's nothing to get anymore. It was all taken by some people. Whatever, even then it wasn't much. So small. But it's just, this man was so nice. Yes. So, to see that all of you, and of course all of you, but especially the people here in this community, have got that deep feeling, the Prabhupada vision. Not easy to get it took me years and years of living in India You know, I've been based there now almost 30 years. And it took me years to really see what Prabhupada's vision was, how great it was, and what it was, and how it was to unfold. I'm still seeing. But, you know, there's this think globally and work locally. That, so, thinking globally, that's one way to understand Prabhupada's vision. But working locally is just as, or perhaps even more important, because there is no thinking globally unless there are people who are doing locally. So all of those stalwart devotees who remain here year after year in this community and who picked up the Prabhupada vision and who completed this temple for Radha Damodar in the face of so many obstacles, the biggest one, well, it's actually not the biggest one. I like to say it's the biggest one because I'm a fundraiser. But it's a big you know, you did it. Whether you, I don't care whether you're, well, better not say this, tape recorder's on. I don't care if you robbed banks or whatever you had to do. You took loans from banks. That's what you did. You took loans from banks. Yesteryear we used to think of whatever you did, and this was the primary instruction that I received from Srila Prabhupada. I mean, I had a lot of association, I gotta admit, and I'm one of those people who had his association but was so cripple hearted that I just never, I didn't blossom. I didn't take it. I'm just learning now, in my last stages, what a blessing I had. But the instruction that I appreciated most from Srila Prabhupada was do the needful. Do the needful. And you've done the needful, and there's nothing that succeeds in this world, and these are all, you know, corny cliches, trite cliches, but there's nothing that succeeds like success. So having this festival at, you know, this time, and erecting, completing this temple, although nobody knew how, it's almost like Malati and Shamsundar coming to Mangalarti one morning and the temple's so poor, and I don't know if Shamsundar told it properly, but all of a sudden there were these $100 bills blowing down the road. Incredible. Yeah, the temple was poor, they needed money, and they were coming to Mangalarti, and it was a little bit of a breeze in San Francisco, and that it was a friendly breeze because $100 bills started blowing in the wind. Mangalarti was 7 o'clock in the day. I remember that. In fact, Shilavati, I think, was the first one to introduce. Well, she.
Now we know who to blame.
Yeah, it's Shilavati. Where is she? I'm going to get her. Too early.
She's in Moundsville.
Well, I'll have to look her up. She was Jai Tirtha, myself, and Dhruv Ananda were the first ones to become pujaris of Rukmini Dwarkadish. Originally, it was Shilavati doing everything, you know. Then she needed some help. And so we'd just taken second initiation. This was in 1970, I think. And, so she got us. The way she attracted me was. Nah, I better not get into that. No, nah, all right. She used to slip me a bag full of Maha sweets. And I was so attracted to those Maha sweets, I decided to become a pujari so I could get them all. I'm not lying to you. This is a straight goods. You know, I tell you, really, Krishna puts us in different. Jayananda, he was my Varma Pradarsha guru, and you know, there's a lot of things I could say about Jayananda, but one thing that he just impressed everybody so much was his humility. But he said something profound also. Well, he always said something profound, but at one time he said that, because devotees used to always praise him, because very early on he was everybody came to know that he was a very special person. But his point was that, you know, if just because you've kind of been around for a long time, people naturally want to give you respect, or, you know, just because you've been there for a long time. And the insinuation, or the what he was suggesting, was that he wasn't really very qualified, but just because he'd been around for a long time, people would glorify him. But I think I can safely say that somehow or other, and I don't know what happened, you know, it was years ago. I haven't known what happened since the day I met the devotees. It was like, you know, there's three kinds of people that do things in the world. There are those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder, what happened? So I'm one of those who met the devotees, and then, you know, what happened? You know, 30 years later, how did I get here? I'm sitting up here today. I'm in this, you know, sannyas dress, and I'm even greater than a GBC. I'm GBC of the Americas. Somebody in India once introduced me to a crowd of people, and they didn't know what emeritus was. So they introduced me as GBC of the Americas. Once you've quit the GBC, then you really take on genuine character or genuine respect.
Wait, anytime you want, Mark.
I really feel like I'm just one of. I know all my God brothers feel the same way. We express it in different ways. I can't express anything without telling a joke. You know, I was in a coma. When was it? I'm still in a coma, I think.
Mayapur, when was my last coma?
Oh yeah, it was at Rathiyatra. I was coming to come to New York, Rathiyatra. I wanted to come so badly because Jagannath is so kind. I thought, I'll just drop down and see my friend Giriraj Swami, and then I'll go on to New York. And I didn't know Krishna had other plans. I became a guest of the one of the best hospitals in North America. For 6 days they put me up. And as they let me go, they gave me a bill for $30,000. even in a coma, they always try to get you to say who you are, you know. They come in and you're like, there. And they say, do you know your name? What day it is? I couldn't figure out what day it was, what year it was, what my name was. But I remembered a little joke. I thought this guy's too serious. We gotta liven this up a little bit. So he asked me what's your name, and I remembered somehow or other, not Krishna, something from my childhood, a little nursery rhyme. What's your name, Mary Jane? Where do you live down the lane? So I said Mary Jane. I thought he knew the rhyme too. You know, I thought he'd think it was funny. He didn't think it was funny.
Oh,
But,
you know, laughter's a great thing. And in these days and ages, okay, in these days, let's get back to days. Times are tough. Hey, just step back and look at all your blessings. Like Prabhupada, he came to America. He finally made it to Rockefeller. I mean, what's that place where they have all the lights? And, huh? No, not Rockefeller Center. The 42nd and something or other. Huh?
Times Square.
Times Square. He finally made it to Times Square, and he looked at all the lights and bright lights and the lures of Maya, and he just laughed. He said, "Maya, you've done a great job here." So, just, you know, have a good laugh at Maya trying to work her ways, but you should know that if you sincerely serve Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, right from the most simple, sincere Vaishnava all the way up the vertical ladder and go horizontal, go any way you like, but serve the devotees that Maya can't touch. Anyway, I kind of co-opted all of the time, and I'm sorry, it was a question and answer session.
We think you enjoyed it. We'll be staying at Mardi Gras.
Sannyasi can't stay in one place for more than one day.
we're begging that Sri Ramaji will stay and get the Bhagavatam. Well, we still get back.
I like that. Beggar Vance, right?
Another question? So I'm saying, when you ask a question,
I'm sorry,
please use the mic so they can hear it in the kitchen.
This was perfect.
Okay.
Beautiful introduction.
Perfect introduction. Six Swamis had their own needs. And I was thought when I first joined the movement that, you know, you attach yourself to one set of needs and be able to serve them. But over the past so many years of moving around, most of us move around a lot. So how do you develop that attachment for one set of needs, or is that not a reality?
Mama Ji?
Huh?
I can't hear you.
This question is about the
Swami. No, I think it's about the Swami niece, too.
Because I didn't.
First of all, you get the microphone on. And yeah, you got it.
I guess that's the sound. Question is, how to develop attachment for a certain set of deities?
Krishna appears in so many different wonderful ways, and he attracts our heart. But our attachment usually comes when we start serving the deity. In which he reveals himself to the deity through our service. Now, it is explained that he used the term Goswamis, but it's mentioned that there's three aspects to the Lord in the form of the deity. It's called Sambandham, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandham means that form of the Lord that brings us to Krishna consciousness. And that was exhibited by Sanatana Goswami's deity, Shishi Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan brings us to Krishna consciousness. And then we engage in Krishna consciousness activities. And as we start developing attachment for serving that particular deity, the Lord reveals himself in the form of Raya Gurudaji, which is Rupa Goswami's deity, or the Abhideya, that deity that engages us in Krishna consciousness. As we progress in our devotion and service, we mature in our relationship with the Lord. We start developing affection and attachment to the Lord, and the Lord starts to reveal himself in Govindaji, which is, Govindaji, which is Madhupanda's deity. So three aspects of the deity is there in all of the deities. So Krishna brings you to devotion and service and reveals himself through the deities in various ways according to your devotional service. So your attachment is ultimately Krishna, and Krishna is revealed to you according to your level of attachment to your devotional service.
Enter the microphone.
Part of your question, you were saying, if your devotees move around a lot, how do they get attached to a particular deity? Maybe the answer is practical level is to stay put in one place for a while.
Point of information, Prabhupada said, that is, a brahmachari said should stay in one place for 3 years minimum. Just to back up what Mahavati Prabhu said, at least 3 years, you know, that's how long it takes to build a temple, you know, then move on.
Am I going back?
I have two questions. One is a transcendental question and the other one is a material one.
Oh.
The material question is, who is the current president of the United States of America?
Who is that?
Yeah, right. Who's that? Yeah, the transcendental question is this. It says in the scriptures, I think it's the Holy Bible, that if you save the life of one living human being, you have saved a whole world. I think I know what that means, but I want to be sure so that I address my question to all of you to answer.
Should we answer all at once in unison, or?
Yeah. We know that they kind of agree with it and the teachings of the Lord Yajna. But Bhagavad-gita particularly mentions, looking at the different levels of devotees, and he says how the Uttama, when an Uttama is born, that there are hundreds of miles around that area where that entity takes birth, that everyone becomes blessed. And the Uttama is able to liberate, he said, 100 generations of those who are connected with the Uttama currently. And of course, I would say, those who take instructions seriously. And he explained that a Kamata is able to elevate 14 generations. A difference there. But 14 generations automatically elevated. By the time of the Kamata. And he goes on to say that a Kanishka is able to elevate 4 generations. That means even someone who is just a Kanishka, that we are all ambassadors. Whatever level of consciousness that we attain, we are saying yes, Christian consciousness, and we are following. And every single devotee becomes empowered. We are empowered first about the divinities that are within our own body. There are so many major divinities within our particular body that are being affected by what we do with the non-conscious element. And then those divinities that we come in contact with, to the degree that we are trying to take shelter of the Tantra process, and to that degree, each devotee is empowered. It's a matter of degree, everyone has to carry some empowerment. And that's why even if we deal with karma for the sake of devotees, that we should be very careful about how we move about. That, and to take another level, that when we deal with any devotee who is coming under the Vaishnava umbrella, doesn't this mean those who are just part of our specific family, those who are part of our generation, who are part of our tribe, our guru is happening, tribe, those who are part of our Islam tribe, but it means that any Vaishnava who is saying yes to Mahaprabhu is carrying a very special potency and blessing. Regardless of their real life, whether they are very mature, whether they are realized. According to the fundamental accounts, of course, the blessings are connected or concomitant. So we can see then how to move about that we want to come represent our child in the proper way. We want to come to use what we've been given, keep it sacred. Sometimes when someone does not know or realize fully the potency that they are in connection with, their tendency is to minimize. Someone has inherited $100,000, but their thinking is only $10,000. Then they want to address their life according to the $10,000. When they find out that they really have $100,000, then it shifts their consciousness focus, and they become more aware of more opportunities, more ways of how they can use it. They become more appreciative of what they have. They become more careful to honor it and to protect it. And they also become more, hopefully, energized to be able to take it and to use it and share it with someone else. That one of the areas that we become stronger unequivocally as we appreciate more what Shri Prabhupada has given us and try to salvage it, to share it, that's what we can do that, of course, when we share it, we can never appreciate Shri Prabhupada back. And as we avoid offending each other, and as we avoid to keep what has been given, because there are millions, there are hundreds of millions of people on this planet who will not take advantage of the mercy that Prabhupada gave to this planet. There are hundreds of millions of people who always have the opportunity, they will not. Look at most of our relatives even. They said we were discussing yesterday about their father's leaving the body, the mother left 2 days ago. We asked that all these well, so many of us have relatives needing and some of us needing ourselves, but many of us look at those who we're kind of connected with, and they're on the way to the entourage. And so the help is that yourselves we're connected with Christian consciousness. And so they will give grace. They will give certain spiritual grace, even though they may never walk into a temple, never take the sun, even though they have been inimical to your own existence as a devotee. But the credits that they get far out overrides, and that's a really good idea, far overrides the misunderstanding of lack of appreciation. When you think of that, when we decide to slow down, to deny, to minimize our spiritual gifts. And we're, in one sense, we're saying, we really don't care about all of those who don't have much of a chance in this lifetime. We don't give them a chance. We don't care what their fate becomes. What we're saying, we become so much egocentric about our own problems, or our own wants, because using that means, we become so much concerned about our own wants, that we just figure, we just consider it in reality. So we don't want to do that because one is given much, much in respect. The more that we should give us, like if a new bhakti falls down a bhakti, it's bad. But initiated devotee falls, it's worse, or devious, or doesn't take advantage of what they've been given. Brahma, sannyas, or the say, oh, what a great guru. Then it becomes even worse because more is given. And the more that we have the responsibility to represent the transcendental system as such. And so it starts and it ends with the way that we interact in our day-to-day experiences with each other. Because here we all have a chance of going around. We're literally agents who are ambassadors in power. It's been the other day we hear that the Indian ambassador last night got intoxicated at a party and ran into a tree. It's not just the Indian ambassador, but it's the person who has the power of attorney who's representing a sovereign country. And it has its own embarrassment to the entire country. So actually, when any devotee does something improper, it's not just the person. When we say yes, we take a vow, we say yes, we are not the same identity anymore, even though we may try to hold on to some past matters. We're not the same. We make a commitment that we are aligning ourselves to Mahaprabhu's mission. Now, if we accept that and try to be sacred, then we can help so many people who have the chance of not taking this lifetime. Thanks.
As an institution, we know that there's been an emphasis on paradigm changes, and we know that we're currently going through restructuring. And there seems to be significant emphasis placed on this whole concept of paradigms and models of standard, etc., for institutions as a whole. However, I think it's probably just as important individually for these paradigms or changes to also take place. So my question is, and it may be pretty broad, but my question is, at the same time that we're going through restructuring as an organization, what significant shift or paradigm change do you feel is perhaps most significant for us as individuals that complements that structural paradigm change or restructure in our organization?
I think Mamalati has been pretty close to that one. Maybe she can answer that. I'd like to say four words before she starts. Character, confidence, compassion, and courage. In that order, character, sufficient character, and whatever we do is just the height of God's merit. There's not confidence, we'll not be able to carry it out. If we don't have compassion, we miss the whole view of what a Vaishnava is. If we don't have courage, we can't access it in a Vaishnava community or in the outside, not outside community.
Mr. Dharma would like to ask you this question.
Is it okay?
Please.
You've both been working on this particular topic for
before I answer that question, let me just first say that a lot of times we put it to restructuring proposal, we know that probably very few people in this room have actually seen it or reviewed it, and we do want to do that. I don't know if there's a way to encourage that before the meetings. The answer that I'd like to give for Shambhavati is that sometimes consideration, a lot of time consideration is given actually to the individual devotee. I think the whole restructuring concept is really based on people-centered or servant leadership, if you will, understanding that you're nothing without the devotees who are part of this time. That the individuals are the most important ingredient, and of course Prabhupada said that, if one person became a pure devotee, then his mission would be satisfied and successful. But along with, or even more than just looking for that one person who could become Krishna conscious, we need to build a society that's supportive of each other in the development of their devotional life. So, in the beginning of the document, there's a list of qualities that are the basic organizational or fundamental principles of the restructuring effort. And the first two are dealing with people. I just named the one, which is people-centered or servant leadership. The second is good integrity of character, that was just alluded to a few minutes ago here, that without, you know, just like the Indian ambassador going into the treaty is representing India as a whole and its values. So similarly, each one of us here is representing every drop of mercy that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And if the way that we present that mercy lacks in moral character, comes across as uncaring about the rest of the world who need to take the Krishna consciousness, hurts other people, slaps in the face of any kind of values that are still preserved in Kali Yuga, then that is taking away from Srila Prabhupada's presentation. So I think those would be the two most important ingredients, the servant leadership approach and the integrity of each one of us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We've been working very, very intensely on the reconstruction. So we all feel honored to have someone of her inside the session doing such work.
So
we have no blame and nothing that is also.
No, you have to blame yourself for not participating in the proper spirit. But it would be nice if this community would somehow, maybe Siddharma can explain to you how to get the document out, because what we've been finding is that even though we've been advertising this, somehow or other, people know something's going on, they're not getting their hands on the document and reading it. And since this is going to be people-centered, people are going to have to decide. And if they haven't been and aren't familiar with it, the decisions will be faulty. So maybe after we can see the drug.
Yeah, maybe we can formalize Brahma and Matsya. You have to have a certain hour, a certain time, presented to the devotees, we'll be more than happy. You'll be here and show up until tomorrow. So we can touch base and see what time we'll announce it.
There's a third person who can help us too, Yogesh is here, and he's also working a lot of the documents.
Very nice. So you can post it, we'll announce the time. We'll see what is the best time to do it.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, we'll take one.
We hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Arunmuni, that a disciple of the spiritual master should accept the spiritual master in firm friendship. I was wondering if you could comment on the meaning of that.
I don't know if you should just address your question. I mean, one way to do it is you can address your question to a particular person. Another way is just you can know that your question is going to one, then the next question is going to two, the next to three. If you ask us, he'll say Maharaj, and I'll say no, you. And she is.
Yeah, but that's the way we use it.
Take turns. So. And it's called who's speaking to you. I don't mind that name, but I mean, I lost you, so.
Someone sent around this joke to the joke conference. I'm not on the joke conference, but my assistant is, and he sends me all the jokes. But there's one, you know, why did the chicken cross the road? And there's like an answer from everybody, like, you know, Bill Clinton. I don't know if the chicken crossed the, or something about the, if the chick crossed the road, then I'm going to chase her. You know, so everybody's got an answer like that. But one of the persons said, what was the question? Could you rephrase? What was the question?
Arunmuni doesn't
One thing is, I'll just offer a little. I'm like a real small timer. Like, you know, I dot I's and put periods at end of sentences. In a temple like this, it's really good that Prabhupada is here, because this way you can keep your right shoulder to the deities and your face to Prabhupada or whatever. But nobody should sit with their back to Radha Damodar. I'm real sorry, I'm square, L7, you know. I think you're with your back to Radha Damodar, yeah. Okay, go ahead, shoot, now the real important stuff. Go ahead.
Everybody tells the Jivan Bhagavatam that a mature disciple should accept.
You said Narad Muni?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm partially deaf, so you got to sing.
And he tells us in Srimad Bhagavatam that
friend.
Healthy discipleship is accepting a spiritual master in firm friendship. And I was wondering if you could comment on the meaning of that.
Well, that's, of course, that's a big subject, 25 words or less, or... I can speak a little bit from personal experience, and that is my good friend here, Mayapur Das. He's been with me for 5 years now. You know, he's seen all the things that nobody's supposed to see, you know. He's seen me in a very relative position in some ways, but he's still a very sincere, intelligent disciple. But we're also friends, and I don't think he could survive. Okay, let me take it to this level. This is my personal poor realization of the subject. We all need to somehow or other get out of this material world. We need to fix our minds, our hearts, on the beautiful form of Shyamasundar, Radha Damodar. And we have to live in the spiritual world with transcendental senses. But at the present moment, I don't have that vision. So Lord Krishna very kindly sent Srila Prabhupada. That, actually, he sent for all of us. But Srila Prabhupada was a Vaikuntha man, an external manifestation of the super soul. And we hear that the spiritual master, describing him in the scripture, he is Sakshad Hari. There's so many glorifications. It's not hard on one level to understand that. When you think of a person who was inside and outside and everywhere so perfect. But I think that, again, I'm going back to our need. We need a bona fide spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada encouraged the next generation to take up the service. I remember when Prabhupada sent me to be the temple president of Hyderabad. I used to call it hyper bad because it always had problems. I think even today it's hyper bad. But actually it happened twice. I first took sannyas in 1975, and you know, I was all excited. You know, I'd been a brahmachari for many years, and now I was going to travel around the world and preach. I'd love to. You know, I wanted an opportunity to preach, talk about Krishna. I was very excited. And the very, you know, practically 4 or 5 days after I took sannyas, I met Prabhupada in Bombay, and he said, all right, go to Calcutta and be the temple president in Calcutta. And so I didn't want to do it, and I also didn't feel qualified to do it. So with a mixture of both in my heart, I said, Prabhupada, I don't think I'm qualified to do this. And he said, you just do it, and we will see later. But the first thing is, you just do it. And so I had to think about that a lot, maybe a few minutes or something. Then I had to answer, you know. So I had to go. Prabhupada wanted me to go. And I had the same thing. I went to Calcutta, stayed there for 6 months or something, put things relatively in order. And I got Abhiram to take over. This traveling party came through with 6 Mercedes-Benz vans at the library for Greg Moonsley. And that was it. I'm gone. I was history. And Prabhupada was upset. But then again, I met him in Bombay sometime later, and he said, Hari Prasad Padruka wants you to go to Hyderabad. They're asking you to be the president there. You go there. Again, the same reaction I had. You know, I traveled around India. Now I want to travel around the world. And I said, but Prabhupada. So anyway, I had to surrender to that. So what it came down to, what I'm trying to say is that I realized that whatever, Prabhupada had his mission, and he was trying to do his service to his Lord, and my only duty was to assist him, and after him, we we need to follow Srila Prabhupada by following the process he set up. Who, in other words, we need to find a spiritual master. That's the process. Tadbidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. That's the process. And we can like our spiritual master. We can respect our spiritual master. We may not like him. We may only respect him. Some people say it's more important to be respected than to be liked. Of course, Prabhupada was liked and respected and honored, and he had all the bhushana, all the ornaments, bhushanangam. We may or may not have all those ornaments, but the next generation has to find someone who will be for them a surrogate, and whom they can bring out their own bhakti, their own devotion to the spiritual master. Now, that if we accept that, then it's sure a lot easier to do your service favorably or to be positive. You have to do it anyway if you want spiritual life, but to have a good relationship with your spiritual master, to be a servant, to develop that mood of servant to your spiritual master. And, of course, ultimately it's all going to Krishna. As I said, surrogate, I mean, we're preparing. Krishna is our guru. There's only one guru, and he's Krishna. He comes down, but ultimately we're preparing ourselves for the Vaikuntha or the Goloka mood. I say Vaikuntha, and, you know, Prabhupada used to refer to his spiritual master as a Vaikuntha. What can I say about my Guru Maharaj? He was a Vaikuntha man. So it's not, you know, Prabhupada was a Goloka man, the Vaikuntha man. So to develop that mood by which we can enter into the spiritual world, we need someone who we can practice with. And it may be our nature. I saw different disciples deal with Srila Prabhupada in different ways. I mean, very diverse ways. Some even, and Prabhupada was so kind, some even almost to the point of, not peers exactly, but you couldn't say that they were obviously servile, or it wasn't externally obvious, although in their heart they were. So somebody may have a genuine attraction for a spiritual master, and he may be a friendly person, and he may be serving the spiritual master with all his heart and soul. I think the spiritual master will pick up on that mood and reciprocate with the devotee in that way. So that's one kind of approach, an individual friendly relationship as opposed to an individual servant, more in the servant bhava. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam does speak in absolute terms also, so I'm not going to go into that, it's too long. But this is just something that I appreciate, that I need, the servant is good for the people are good for the king, and the king is good for the people, the Bengali saying. People are good for the king, and the king is good for the people, but the king is better. In other words, we need a leader, we need a spiritual master, we need a teacher. And of course, if we have a community of devotees who are of the highest integrity, we will get a leader, a qualified person to lead us. But we need someone that we can reach out and love and
kick.
Serve and kick. Well, that may be somebody's relationship with their spiritual master. My work kicks me sometimes. So, whatever. But we do, please remember that, at least I feel it, and I know all my God brothers do really feel it. This is a big service that we have to do, and I'm real glad I only have a small family, because it's a big service to take responsibility for someone's life. You can hardly handle your own life, and you gotta take responsibility for others. So, we're doing the service because someone has to do it. But the onus is on you to a greater extent to somehow or other get out of this material world. And Srila Prabhupada has given us the path. Anybody can present a better path. You know, after more than 30 years, I'm ready to change. You know, paradigm shift, you know, it's fine. I'm ready to go. You present the better process. I don't think you can, but...
Any question?
I just...
Difficult question, and I probably
gave a terrible answer, but is there anything you got out of it? Did you get anything out of it at all? Okay, good. I was thinking about servitude leadership you just mentioned and paradigm shifts and all these other things, and our duty to help serve devotees. And I was wanting to know how to address, like, particularly difficult situations where there may be some obstacles to or service or whatever else due to other individuals, and how to resolve these conflicts without stepping on anybody's toes or, you know, finding fault or affecting change in a positive way instead of just hitting heads, you know, like particularly with the devotees in management or people who we see have larger influence on our lives than... I'm not sure if that was clear.
How do we change without complaining?
How do we make progress in making improvements, although we're working with some of the other people who may think differently?
Yeah.
Without offending them. In the material world, using the best plan wins. But this is not the material world. At least not, we don't use that same type of logic. It's not that the best management structure is going to make us Krishna conscious. That's not what we're about. Krishna, when he sees cooperation, and humility and the spirit of working together in harmony in order to achieve the goal. Goal has to be there. You have to have the goal in mind when you're moving towards developing plans in a certain direction. It should be in glorifying the Lord or creating an opportunity for devotional service, improvement in our devotional service. So that spirit of cooperation has to be there amongst those who are working in that particular situation. I heard one statement one time where senior leader in a movement made a very powerful statement. He said, you may have a plan that's 95% right, and someone may have a plan that's 85% right, but if you find it, ultimately, it doesn't matter because Krishna is going to discover both plans. The idea is cooperation. Of course, we have to see what is the best plan and honestly try to work together to achieve that. So there has to be a sense of intelligence, direction, understanding, but ultimately a spirit of cooperation and doing that. So that has to be created among us. And then we work together and try to develop our programs. If we fight, I mean, there's those differences of opinion. There's always differences of opinion, but it can always be worked out in a Krishna conscious way. And that's, you know, differences of opinion are good because it inspires intelligence, inspires creativity. But ultimately, there has to be ultimately some surrender to something at one point before we can move forward. So, we have that idea that we're going to try to put my ideas forward in order to try to improve the devotional service or the plans or how to glorify the Lord better or how to push on Krishna consciousness. But we're sincerely trying to do that in the proper way. Then that's Krishna consciousness. And when we hear other people speak or give suggestions, we'll be open to that. We won't see it as a, you know, an obstacle in our plan. But it is not. If it is an obstacle, we can deal with it. We should have answers about it. Does that make sense?
So we can say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. May we have one or two? Maybe that's a question of Malati. And we can do the swing festival. The morning program is So, that's not an open-ended question. That's the way I think.
First, I just wanted to express some gratitude to Srila Maharaj for coming. I think it's very nice, especially. I think that it's probably difficult to travel, and his presence is making the occasion more special. And my question is, sometimes you might have the experience that somebody asks you to do something and you do it for them, and then when the situation is turned around, they don't want to return or they don't want to do something for you. So I'm wondering, how do you serve devotees without expecting any kind of reciprocation? Or even if you know that they might not do the same thing for you, how do you still do it anyway and get past all of the obstacles that your mind sends you?
That is actually the essence of our
Prashad, their boga at 11:30, which means that the altar will be closed.
noon arti, and then after that we can shout them again. So we would like to start the spring ceremony at 10:30. Which, yeah. So what we're asking...
You want to get the destiny,
okay. So what we're saying is that at 11:30 we close the altar, and at noon... So part of what we take you to honor the shadow and come back, we have until noon. So...
It's 10.
It's
about 10 now. We have 8 out of time. We have 10:15 now. Okay.
We can adopt, like we give tomorrow, a suggestion to meet once a day.
10:15. Voting. So if everyone is back by 11, that gives us half an hour for the spring festival?
It gives us 1 hour.
1 hour.
Okay.
We'll
open the gate at 12:00.
That's good. So, yeah, so yes and no, right? So if they're back, I believe at
11.
11:00.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
We're at 35 minutes.
Yes. Let's just have the spring ceremony and
the ceremony now.
Breakfast with lunch.
Someone, can we have the spring ceremony now?
Yes.
We have the spring ceremony now.
Yes. Whoever wants to eat. So those that would like to go honor Kishada, why don't you honor Kishada? Those that would like to sit this with the meeting, because it's only one person that has to sit with the meeting. And then you can come back after honor
Kishada. Could you go back to the same? Because of the daily schedule. We want to have the swing ceremony now. The children can go into the old temple, take a shower. That's the occasion. So, the time will be made available for the kids downstairs. We'll do the swing ceremony now. And after that,